Today, we start a three-month series through the book of Proverbs. We're not going to look at every proverb, but we're going to learn God's principles given to whom God said would be the wisest man as well as the wealthiest man in the world. And we're going to learn those things that he learned as God gave him wisdom. Mark Twain, the pen name of Samuel L. Clemens, is given credit for this remark. When I was a boy of 13, my father was ignorant. When I was a young man of 16, my father had become rather stupid. When I had become 21, I was astonished at how much the old man had learned in just a few years. Many a teenage boy or girl, many a young man or woman has had such a view of a father or a mother, thinking he or she was out of touch, behind the times, just plain old didn't get it. Until the day they, in making their own decisions, seeking wisdom from thyself or from the world around them, those who are like-minded as they were, had messed it up so much that they realized, maybe the advice and the wisdom that they wanted to give me wasn't so far off and would have helped me in life. One of the oldest father and son continuing talks recorded in history is found throughout the book of Proverbs. In them, you can hear a father's burden from the very first proverb over and over and over again. Hear my words, my son. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Listen to what I have to say. Experience the things that I've learned, not because I've made the mistakes, but because I'm trying to help you and protect you. And then he says, get that wisdom. And once you do, love her. Stay close to her. Do what she says. Proverbs is also one of the most practical, hands-on books that we find in the Scripture. Its timing is for the here and now. The message is the straight and narrow. It's not a number of options and choose the best. Its value is that its principles have been tried and found true for countless generations. 3,000 years of generations. Many, though, to their own peril, to their own foolishness, think God's ways of wisdom is stifling and behind the times. But it's exactly the test of time which makes Proverbs valuable for you and I today. If we were to truly say, I want to seek truth. Do you know the book of Proverbs tells us that God desires for you to have success in so many areas of your life? He wants you to have success in relationships and friendships. He wants you to be successful in the use of the tongue. He wants us to be successful in financial matters, in the matters of morality, in the matters of money, in the matters of marriage, the matters of parenting, of scheduling and planning, when to say yes, when to say no without guilt, in the matters of work, how to go about our employment, and in the matters of temperament, our emotions. These proverbs contain no new insights. There's no just off the press new theories or fads. Instead, they contain the very wisdom of God, which does not change. Given to a man because he needed it and because he asked for it. King Solomon, the third king, the son of David, was asked by God, what is it you desire? What is it that you'd like as you get started at the ripe age of 20 years old to govern and lead my people? Solomon thought about it and said, God, give me wisdom to lead and shepherd your people in the right way, in your ways. God stepped back and was so astonished by that. He said, not only going to give you that wisdom, I'm also going to give you everything else you didn't ask for. I'm going to give you wealth. I'm going to give you honor. I'm going to give you the opportunity to even build my house, my temple. Yet, so many keep their distance. They close God's wisdom. They close these principles that God says will give you success in your life. Many of us have closed them because we didn't even know they existed. We didn't know to ask God. We didn't have a relationship with God. Jesus had not yet become our bridge to that connection. But these powerful principles from God's Word, from Proverbs, will work for anyone who puts them into practice, even if they don't know God. Proverbs 15:1. A gentle answer turns away wrath. You try that. They're blowing it at you. They're heated. They're coming at you strong. A gentle answer turns away wrath. Anybody can do that and watch the fire go down because you're not throwing gasoline on the fire. But it is those who practice them consistently, diligently, and faithfully who will find the prosperity, the pleasantness, and the peace that God says is yours. And I can tell you this, that only those who truly fear God and know God will, with a pure heart, practice these things faithfully, diligently, and continuously, even when everything else outside of them says deviate. Let me ask you, over the next 11, 12 weeks, could you use some additional skills on any of those previously mentioned areas of life? Possibly. Well, this series, Learning and Living the Powerful Principles of Proverbs, will be helpful in getting us started. For some, here in this room, it'll be the very first time you're exposed to these Proverbs. For others, it's going to be a refresher course. You've heard them before, you've read them before, but somehow, for some reason, you've deviated. It's going to be a refresher. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you for the reminder. And for others, it's simply going to be an affirmation. It's going to be simply a pat on the back saying, you got it. You're going right. Because you've been practicing these things in your home, in your relationships, in your workplace, and if you're a student, in your school, for months, and for some, for even years. So, turn to the back of your program if you'd like to follow along. The first we're going to look at, and I'm just going to whet your appetite here today, and we're going to get into the others as we move forward. But God says, I want you to walk in wisdom. I want you to walk in wisdom. What is wisdom? Is it knowledge? Is it information? No. We're in a knowledge and information burnout. It's there, accessible, whatever you want to know. You just go ahead and you can find that out with just hitting a few keys. Is it that? We know you can be an educated fool. You can have all the knowledge, you can have all the degrees, and still make no sense in the decisions that you make. A definition I heard many years ago was this, and it still sticks with me today, and it flows out of many, many scriptures. Wisdom is seeing and responding to life and life circumstances from God's perspective. It is the skill, and it is a skill, that you can develop. Or rather, it's a skill that can be developed in you as you participate and walk with God in a way that honors Him. He will develop these principles in you. So seeing life from God's perspective. You know, many of the problems, many of the mess-ups that we have in life are from the fact that we don't see things from God's perspective. We don't respond with His power, with His wisdom, because we're not walking closely with Him. We're not asking. Have you ever heard someone say, I know you've never said this yourself, but have you ever heard somebody else say, right before or right after it blew up, right after the thing they were convinced, this is the right decision. This is what I'm going to do. He's the one for me. She's the one for me. This is the job. And all of a sudden it blows up. And then they say, I went with my gut. Or it felt so right at the time. Or they say, I simply followed my heart. Ever heard, you know, somebody else say that? You know, that other person? Well, guess what? You know what the Bible says? Those natural inclinations are usually wrong. Notice the scripture. There is a way that seems right to a man. There is a way. There's a path. There's a decision that seems right to me. There's a course of action. There's something to stand on right here. But its end is the way to death. Destruction. Dead end. Stops us in our tracks. Notice the next verse. 26, verse 12 of Proverbs. Do you see a man who is wise in his own eyes? That means stubbornly unteachable. Do you see a man who is wise in his own eyes? Well, let me see. Not here. Not a one. Now, if it asked you, do you see a woman? Oh, that would have been a different story. Well, we didn't get to the proverb on the tongue yet, so I haven't learned that. I'm still unwise when it comes to the use of the tongue. There's hope for me still. Oops. There is more hope for a fool than him. Oops. There you go. See, one who says, no, I don't care what God says. Or, you know, what often happens is maybe you're helping someone. Maybe you're walking along someone and you're simply sharing God's wisdom. And they say, well, that's what you think. That's your opinion. And you say, no, it's not. I've just shared with you God's voice on the matter. But no, this is what I feel. I'm going to follow my own heart. God says, be careful. So wisdom, it's seeing life from God's perspective. It's responding to life from God's power. Look with me in James 3, verse 17. We deviated for a moment from Proverbs. Is this, when you make a decision, is this what's going on in your heart? Is this what's going on in your mind regarding that path? But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable. It's gentle. It's open to reason. It's full of mercy and good fruits. It's impartial and sincere. Wow. What a test for the decision and the path we're about to make. Is it pure? Is there anything in it from me or from anybody else who I invite in? And you should invite a lot of people. Those who seek counsel from others. If you're afraid to share a decision you're about to make with somebody else who walks with God, red flag. But is it pure? Does it leave peace all around you, the aroma of peace? Is there a gentleness from those? Is it open to reason? Are you open to reason? Looking at the facets of that from every angle. Is there mercy and good fruit? Is there no hypocrisy? Are you double-minded? Or are you sincere? So, wisdom, what is it? It's seeing life from God's perspective. It's responding to life from God's power, from the wisdom from above. Secondly, wisdom, what will it do for me? Okay, this is what I wanted to get to, John. What will it do for me? Three things. God's word says it's going to make you profitable. It's going to make you pleasant. It's going to make your life peaceful. Yeah, it's going to make your life pleasant. Maybe you'll never be pleasant, but it's going to make your life pleasant. Notice in Proverbs 3, verses 13 through 18. She will make my paths profitable. Notice, blessed is the one who finds wisdom. That word blessed is talking about God's favor is upon this one. Happy is this one who finds wisdom. To find something indicates what? You're searching, right? Scripture keeps talking about that because it doesn't come to us naturally. God's wisdom doesn't come to us naturally until over a period of time of diligence and continued examination of God's word and practice of God's word. Then it will. Why? Because the Spirit of God has just taken over and there will be a first bent towards the wisdom of God. But we need to build up to that. So blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. What's understanding? Well, you get understanding from doing and applying the wisdom. You get the wisdom. In other words, there it is, the decision, God's will in the matter, God's principles right there laid out for you. Ah, I know them now. And off we go. Amen. When we read it or someone says it, does it make you wise? Does it make your life pleasant? Doesn't make it profitable, doesn't bring peace. But when we do it, there we find the profit. And there we get the understanding. See, for a lot of us, God's ways, for all of us, are not our ways. Far beyond figuring out, why would he do it that way? Why would he send his son to such a gruesome death on the cross and show love for me? Who would have figured that out? Who would have drawn up that plan? I wouldn't have. You wouldn't have. But God did. And what did it lead to? Life. Peace. Eternity. So much more. And God says, my wisdom is laid out. Practice it. Do it. Then you get the understanding. Then you look back and go, I get it. I understand now. Because we've done it. So blessed is the one who finds wisdom, the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand. God's promising long life to those who gain wisdom. Well, when you're wise and you're making the choices God wants you to make, guess what? You're going to develop healthier habits. Just in with your mind, in your emotions, even physically. And there's going to be a whole lot less stress in your life. Stress comes because of wrong decisions or allowing others to control and direct instead of God and His Word. When we have that confidence, it brings self-confidence because we're saying, God, I'm following You. I'm doing what You've said. It releases or reduces stress in our life. Which gives us, any physician would tell you, reduce stress, develop healthy habits, you will live longer. Secondly, in her left hand are riches. As we continue in this study over the next number of weeks, we will examine God's five foundational financial principles. Imagine that. God will knock on the door and He will ask you if you allow Him to be your personal financial planner. Pretty good, huh? We're going to take a look at those things. But not only is that in her left hand, so is honor. Who do we really honor and respect? Those who strive for it. Those who say, look at me, I'm good at sports or I'm an entertainer. Not really. People who do the right thing. In the right way. In the midst of the hard circumstances. There's something about we honor and respect those people. People who don't put their foot in their mouth, but who speak the right thing at the right time. People who navigate through life, even in these principles, wisely and humbly. Not bragging, not boasting, saying, look at me or let me tell you. Not striving for honor, not striving for recognition, but simply walking with God. God says, honor will come to your life. Notice also, she will make our paths pleasant. Notice the next verse. Her ways are ways of pleasantness. When you and I are constantly making unwise decisions, we're walking without following God's principles because of the choices we make, our life and the life of those around us is going to be unpleasant. Walk with God, and He says, it'll make for pleasantness. Thirdly, she will make my paths peaceful, and all her paths are peace. She's a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. Wisdom, God's saying, will make your paths profitable, will make your paths pleasant, will make your paths peaceful. Knowing that you've honored God in the decisions of life will bring inner peace and security, as well as self-confidence, no matter what is going on around you. You know that you don't have to be a reactor to life. You can be a responder with God's grace. Especially in those things that seem to be out of our control. Can I ask you, how often is that? Like every day? God says, walk in my wisdom, learn my principles, apply my principles, and as you walk, you will walk with pleasantness. You will walk with peace, even though the storm rages around you. Well, thirdly, wisdom, where can it be found? We see right here from the Proverbs, verse 9 and 10 and 15:33, we need to walk in fear with the Lord. That means reverence and dependence. Notice what it says. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. The fear of the Lord is instruction in wisdom, and humility comes before honor. Fear God? What kind of church is this? What are you saying? When I was growing up, I was told to fear God or he's going to get me. And we're not talking about that fear that makes you run from God. We're talking about a fear that you and I take God seriously. We're sobered by him and his awe and his majesty. To him, to us, he's not the big guy upstairs. He's not my big buddy. He's not my co-pilot. He's God. He's creator. He's sustainer. He created me. He gave me life. And he has a plan and purpose for my life and says, I want to navigate. Me, God, knows you through Jesus. That brings an awesome fear, a reverence and a dependence that doesn't have us run, but has us bow. Lord, I trust you. I want to know. God, that scares me. Your awesomeness, your holiness, there's something scary about it, but your mercy and your grace is so soothing and comforting that even when I deviate, even when I ignore these principles, you don't push me out. You pursue me and you wait on me, just like the prodigal and the picture of that father. Walking in the fear of the Lord is where wisdom can be found. And walking by faith with Jesus. Notice, Scripture tells us, Paul, in writing to the church, the believers in Corinth, they were getting tripped up in that city in Greece. The Grecians, known for their great philosophies and their great learning, the books where we had Socrates and Aristotle and Plato. And so the wisdom of the world was something that they were grasping for, looking for. And here, even in the church, they began to listen to other voices. And they're reminded by Paul, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God, and what's that? The cross, is wiser than men. See, man builds his religions to get to God. God says, I've come to you to establish a relationship through the cross. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. What's God's weakness? Well, the cross. Jesus became vulnerable. Jesus became so humble. Jesus gave himself up. From man's perspective, so weak, such a loser. But from God's perspective, that humility, that weakness was the answer, was the strength. For consider your calling, brothers. Notice, not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Notice, it doesn't say not any of you. There are some who are very wise, intellectually, education, who come to Christ. But not many. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. So that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who has become to us wisdom from God. Jesus, if you know him, if you've begun that relationship, that journey with him, it is he who is wisdom. It is he who has sanctified you. It is he who has redeemed you. All that you need to get started is all found in Christ. And so as we take God's word, inspired and written and given to us by the Holy Spirit, as he worked through Solomon, who wrote thousands of Proverbs. He wrote thousands of songs. You read about his life in 1 Kings 3 and 4, and we'll go back there over the ensuing weeks. We see a guy who made a ton of mistakes. And at a certain point in life, regretted and saw those things. Though he had all the wisdom, though he had all the wealth, he became self-focused and made mistakes. And so he's crying out to his sons. He's crying out from the grave But in heaven today, to you and I, hear me. Look to what I say, because God's ways are so much greater than our ways. And he, not even knowing Christ, but looking to the Savior that God would bring, and you looking, and I looking back to the cross. Is Jesus your door? Is Jesus your all in all? Let's start there. There's 31 Proverbs, you know. Most of the months have 31 days. Some 30, less 29. A long time ago, someone suggested to me and to others, take a proverb, read the proverb for that day, and do it the following month, and the following month, and the following month. I took that advice, and for the first few years of my Christian walk, almost without ceasing, without missing a day, would read the proverb for the day. In the last few years, not as diligent, not as consistent, but still will often go to the proverbs. Filled with God's wisdom, filled with truth, filled with pleasantness, prosperity for our lives, and peace, because it's God's wisdom and how to navigate in life, and gives us understanding to things we would not understand. You're ready for the journey? Do you need God's skill, God's wisdom in some areas of life? We invite you to join us over the next 3 months as we study God's wisdom for our lives. Father, I just seek you and come to you and thank you, God, for truth. I thank you, Lord, as we embark on this study. Lord, we can have confidence that your word is profitable. It's profitable to teach us what is right. It's profitable to rebuke us, to tell us what's not right. It's profitable to correct us, to get us on that right path. And it's profitable to train us in righteousness, so that we may be your men, we may be your women, thoroughly approved for every good work that you have for us, stemming and coming from our salvation. Thank you. When Jesus said that night he was betrayed as he prayed, Father, set them apart by truth. Your word is truth. Father, we've missed that in so many decisions. Some very, very important. And today we live, even as a church family, with those consequences. But by God's grace, not with the condemnation. If we've repented, if we've turned to you, acknowledge that, sought your forgiveness and experienced the washing and the cleansing that is in Christ and his sacrifice, we can't bring a sacrifice for forgiveness. But he gave his life. And so from that mercy, from that grace, we come to you and we embark on this journey. God, show us wisdom in all of these important areas of life. And not only show it, but Lord, that we might walk together and support each other and encourage each other, spurn each other on to practice your wisdom. And then glean that understanding and graciously and humbly encourage and walk with others who are willing to go your way, fleeing the old, the unwise, the natural inclination, but instead pursuing truth and righteousness, faith and love with others who are going after it with you. And Lord, there's people in this room today, maybe you've never begun the journey with Jesus, that they would not leave this place hearing that knock on the door of Jesus saying, I'm the bridge. I'm the one you need to turn to. I am God's wisdom. The reason you don't get it, the reason error after error, misguided action and practices happen in your life is because you don't have me to lead your life, to be the shepherd of your life. How does that begin? We acknowledge we need a Savior. Why? Because we're great sinners, rebelling against you all the time, not looking for your mind, for your way, but wanting to be the king and the queen, the leader of our own lives. Lord, that's where it begins. The scripture says, repentance towards God. God, I'm sorry. I've been wrong and you're right. I'm a sinner and you're a God of holiness and of justice and of mercy and of love. And I need that love now. So I repent. I turn my heart, my mind over to Jesus. So by faith, I believe in Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross for me, to forgive me. He bought my redemption, my salvation. And God, the scripture says, in that moment, we are sealed by your Spirit. The guarantee, the deposit for an eternity. And then, Lord, your ways, your wisdom, that same author of the Word of God is in us to teach us and entrench us in that truth. Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. And so to him, we humbly bow. To him, we reaffirm. Our minds are not wide enough, educated enough, knowledgeable enough. They need to be humble enough to say, rework it all, everything, Jesus. And so we come. In his name I pray. Amen.